As you prepare to see former Roman Catholic priest for 22 years, Richard Bennett's video entitled The Pentecostal Road to Rome, I, Larry Wessels, director of Christian Answers of Austin, Texas, Christian debater, wanted to remind our viewers that we have an entire playlist on our YouTube channel, See Answers TV, dealing with the threat of the Pentecostals and Charismatics called Dealing with Phony TV Preachers, TBN, that stands for Trinity Broadcasting Network, and King James Onlyites. Particularly see our videos with theologian Rob Zins of Dallas Theological Seminary. Those shows are Blasphemous, Charismatic, and Pentecostal Mayhem, number one. Mad Delusional Experiences Replace Scripture Alone. Two, A Hyped Circus, Sham Unity, Catholic Charismatics. Three, They All Get Sick and Die, Scripture Twisting Liars. Four, Demonic Gifts, Open Violation of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Five, Money-Grubbing, Filthy-Rich TV False Prophets, with more of these videos coming in the future. Richard Bennett's ministry report states the following about the video you are about to see. The Pentecostal Road to Rome, the phenomenon of what is called speaking in tongues continues day by day. It is not only a blight on the Lord's gospel of grace, but it additionally increases the expansion of the falsehood that if you speak in tongues, you are not only saved, but you are spirit-filled. This dreadful lie continues as Pentecostal people work together with Roman Catholics. Moreover, a delegation of Pentecostals led by televangelist Kenneth Copeland met with Pope Francis at the Vatican in November 2015. Thus, it is truly necessary that this expanding falsehood is challenged with biblical truth. Greg Bentley runs two ministries, helpforcatholics.org and whateverycatholicshouldknow.com. Together, he and I clearly analyze the deception. And now for our main video presentation.
The topic of discussion is the Pentecostal movement and its road leading to Rome. With me is Richard Bennett, a former Dominican priest. Richard has a tremendous story of his involvement in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Movement in the early years of his study as well as being a priest in the island of Trinidad. And Richard, you've been a real blessing to me over the years, and your testimony has shaped the development of the faith of many people to hold firmly to the written word of God versus clinging to the trappings of religion. And as I've listened to your story over these many years of coming to biblical faith, it really is the fulfillment or living out that the parable in the scripture when it talks about the pearl of great price that you found and how your life completely changed and not just switching churches but completely changing how you lived your life out, what you did for a living. It must have been an enormous transition to leave the comforts of such a secure system and to come and trust in the Lord and move faithfully with Him. You've been a great encouragement to us former Catholics. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, and I have been inspired by other men, like in my own life, like Victor Alfonso, the former Jesuit priest, and Bob Bush, and people like that, who also got tied up in Pentecostalism too, and got beyond Pentecostalism, as you'll see in our book of 50 former priests. Quite a few got beyond Pentecostalism besides getting beyond Roman Catholicism. So I have been encouraged myself by other former priests.
Mm-hmm. And as part of your story, Richard, is your very early life as a Roman Catholic priest and studying in the Vatican, actually, in 1962. And that was a monumental year for the Roman Catholic Church. And you were right there in Rome studying as the Second Vatican Council was put into pen and implemented. That was the very beginning of what we all know as the false ecumenical movement. Many, however, are not very familiar with that terminology. Could you help elaborate about this movement, its origins, and its very purpose?
Yes, first of all, it was because of the Vatican, because of Rome. I was in the city of Rome, but my studies were not at the Vatican itself. It was nearby at the Angelicum University, it's not in Vatican City itself. It is in the city that is belonging to the Italian government, Rome, and it was near the Colosseum. So that was where I was at the time of Vatican II. I was studying my last year for biblical studies. I had already been ordained a priest in 1963, and then in 1963, in September, going into 64, I was studying at that university in Rome itself. And it was out of Rome, at the Second Vatican Council, to the same council that was going on while I was actually there in Rome, mm-hmm. That the Catholic Church changed its stance completely, its method of dealing with churches. Before, it had condemned all religions, it's saying it was the only true religion. It condemned Buddhists, Muhammad, and Islam, and Bible believers were called heretics. And then it changed completely. It was like 180 degrees change. It changed to accepting.
Were you aware at that time the magnitude of what was discussed?
I was aware that something was in the air. We discussed it, but we didn't read. We didn't have the documents when I was actually there at Rome. They were going to begin to be printed and then translated into different languages. So, but we got wind of it, the talk of what was going on, mm-hmm. because, you know, we're part of the church and we know what's going on. It wasn't until a little while later, the following year, when I was sent to Trinidad, but we actually got copies. And then I was very well aware, because it was implemented nearly right away there in Trinidad, the decisions to accept other churches. They were now to be called separated brethren, Bible believers no longer condemned, and the Hindus and the Buddhists and Islamic people, Muslims, were accepted to having a form of godliness, you know. And I was horrified, because literally I had neighbors who were Buddhists, mm-hmm. and Hindus, and I knew some Islamic people. We hadn't got many Muslims, and we had some Muslims in Trinidad. So I was aghast at the Catholic Church accepting these religions.
Please remember that since the Vatican II, the Roman Catholic Communion, at least, took a 180-degree turn. And it recognized explicitly and formally that the Holy Spirit is at work in other religions. Hence, some of their rituals, without designating which ones and getting into the details, also lead to salvation. And this is a fundamental truth that hasn't filtered down too far. It certainly hasn't gotten into the pews, and I'm not so sure how far it has gotten down the various corridors of the Vatican. But this is what the fathers of the church, in the most authoritative formal teaching of our times, have said. It's so wonderful that we can forgive them that it took 1900 years to get there.
These religions, I had seen with my own eyes some of the things that go on in these religions, and then the fact that we had accepted them as a church, and that horrified me, because I knew I didn't live in like Western society. I lived in the more Caribbean society, and here in this island where I live for 21 years, I saw how people lived, mm-hmm. you know, and I was horrified that these religions, and then that our belief at the time as Catholics that we always condemned the Protestants and hated them, you know, that was my culture in Ireland too. Mm-hmm. And now to see that evangelicals are accepted as brothers and sisters in the Lord, you know, and I was aghast, because this is not the way I was trained. I was trained for 7 long years in theology and philosophy, and this is not the way we were trained.
And as the Vatican laid out these plans, they had a way to implement this movement, to draw men and women from other religions and also from the Protestant denominations back into Rome. What were some of the means in which the Catholic Church was planning to implement?
Yes, they actually spelled it out. They said that they were to, you know, to speak to and communicate with leaders of churches and to individuals in churches, but particularly the leaders, the pastors, and that they were to, little by little were the exact words that they said, to win them back to the bosom of Mother Church. They were the words that they spoke. And it's strange to see that just what they said. We will have on the screen appearing some of the official wording of these decrees. You know, it is amazing, because I was horrified to see that, you know, and it was particularly when it came to accepting, say, the Assemblies of God. Not only was that not kosher or not right, but it was that the Assemblies of God were those who believed in all the emotionalism and speaking in tongues and all these dramatic things. And it became very, very well known. In fact, we had in Trinidad in the late 60s, I was there in 64, but coming up now to 67, 68, we had a leader from the Assemblies of God come to Trinidad and lecture us as priests.
So once the plan was formalized, it was within a very few years that it was put into practice. Within
you were already being in communion with
Pentecostal and Charismatic groups.
We were being indoctrinated mm-hmm. to the fact that we were not only have been born again mm-hmm. By infant baptism, you know, mm-hmm. by water being poured on our head, but now we could be spirit-filled and learn to speak in tongues. So this was we had courses in this, and one was run by one of these Pentecostal leaders from Vancouver in Canada, and I was amazed that, and then I began to accept, because this, at least it's lively. I mean, when you've been baptizing babies for many, many years, and then you've been going, hearing people's confessions, and nothing seems to happen, and you know, I mean, it becomes quite boring. I mean, and then these jazzy Pentecostal hymns, you know what I mean? There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb, and all good words and good meaning, and sung so dramatically that this had life. You know what I mean? Seemingly, for those who were accustomed to rituals, here was something with a flavor to it. You know.
So you embraced it immediately.
I embraced it. Didn't. Yeah. I was a rational man.
Emotionalism.
Emotionally, it touched me, and then immediately, and then.
Was it actually speaking in tongues that created this in you?
It was. We were always trying to get people to come to the Mass, mm-hmm. and to go to confession and go to communion, right. because we believe that the sacraments are the instruments of salvation. It is, you know, when you practice the sacraments.
Right.
So this will bring more people to church, mm-hmm. and if you put on a good show, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I had spotlights then put up on the church so that I could be seen in my preaching of this stuff, and I had long hair at that time coming down over my ears, you know, and a large dark beard, mm-hmm. and I said, people did start coming, you know, to the church, and it was like, well, something is happening, you know what I mean? Our only increase before this was when babies were born and people came into the Catholic Church, and now people are coming to the Catholic Church that didn't come before. And something is happening. This thing works. You know what I mean? It catches, like you're catching the fire, as it were. Yes. And it was a strange new beginning. And then for the first time ever, we were praying to God directly in our own words. And that was a good change. You know, Catholics would always say, if Aunt Mary or Uncle Harry was sick, you would say three Hail Marys for them. You know what I mean? And you know, you might say an Our Father and three Hail Marys that somebody would get well. And you say that those prayers that many times. But we never pray to God like Lord God, in Jesus' name, heal some. We never pray directly. And now we were doing that, and it was a real distinct movement. I remember it was at a charismatic movement. There was only about 20 of us in 1972. It was actually on the 16th of March, the day before St. Patrick's Day. That's how I remember 1972. And at a meeting, I was thanking God that I was such a good Catholic priest, and I was thanking God I was so humble and kind. And then I was biblically stupid to say, God, I give you permission to humble me even more if you wish. I mean, you don't give God permission, you know. We're talking about an abomination in prayers. But anyway, that was my prayer on that evening. And then it was the same evening that I had a disastrous accident where I split the back of my head and damaged my skull. I was 3 days unconscious, and I got as close to death as anybody could get. And after some time in hospital, and then some time, about 3 months in the sanatorium recovering, I started to study the Bible. And it was then that I really began to see that we have to study the Bible. And now the Assemblies of God were teaching us from the Bible, and teaching us that just as the apostles spoke in tongues, we must speak in tongues. You know
right.
what I mean?
You mentioned that on a few occasions, and I find that just astounding. Is that you had been speaking in tongues for 10 years before you became a Christian, before you were biblically saved according to Scripture? Is that?
That is correct. I was actually, it was a little bit more than 10 years, it's more like 13 years. But it was during that time, going up to 1985, I was very big in speaking. I became one of the leaders of the Catholic Charismatic Movement. Mm-hmm. I spoke at some of the conferences that we had in Dublin. When I traveled, I came to Ireland, I spoke at a conference in Dublin mm-hmm. itself. But I spoke in the West Indian situation, in Port of Spain, I spoke in Barbados, you know, in a neighboring island. And then I was asked then by the Assembly of God, the same leader who had come at influence with the Assembly of God mm-hmm. in Canada, and the Assembly of God wanted me to go and preach in their churches. And then to try and unite their church with the Catholic Church. And I did that in Vancouver, in Canada. And I also did it in Seattle, the Pentecostals in Canada, knew the Pentecostal Assembly mm-hmm. of God in Seattle. And I spoke there at some Catholic church.
So the glue that was really holding you together with the Pentecostals It was the tongue.
It was the tongue
experience.
It was the tongues experience, and then I learned how to, in the parishes that I ran on the mission field, we didn't just run one church. We ran a good many churches, mm-hmm. and then we had people who were designated Eucharistic ministers to run services. And when we couldn't go to say Mass, they would bring what we call the consecrated host to hand out communion. And it was in those parishes that I ran, the churches that I ran, it was I was trying to get people to do the Life and the Spirit seminars that I had done. And at the end of about 5 days, 5 evenings a week, they would come. We would teach them how to speak in tongues. And I became quite good at speaking in tongues. I had studied in Hebrew, and I studied Greek, and I studied, I had my own Gaelic language besides English, and I knew a little bit of Italian as well because of the, I'd spent 9 months in Italy. So it was a... I could use some of the Hebrew words and then get going and really these strange sounds, and so because I knew a lot of strange sounds of different languages. So some people used to say I have a great prayer language, but it really began to bother me because I was fairly well versed in Greek too, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but I did study Greek, mm-hmm. and I knew that glossolalia is the word for languages. You know what I mean? And it was I had discovered Strong's Concordance back then too, and I knew that it was when we studied the Bible, we see clearly that they spoke in the known languages of the time, and people heard them in their own.
Exactly.
It was a real language, and it used to bother me that this is really unenlightened babble.
Exactly. I mean, all up and out. Let's go. One accord in the spirit.
Speak. Who are you?
Speak out!
We are languages from the dead and forefathers. Pastors use us without discerning. We rule churches. Members, speak if you like. Try me.
I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to know the right way. We just have to give our heart to you.
And just begin speaking. Just make sure that you're not speaking your native language. Just go ahead and speak.
Unlightened babble.
Exactly.
I mean, all languages are intelligent.
I mean,
they all make sense.
Right. That's how we might, refer to someone's native tongue. It's the ability to speak in a language.
In Hebrew, Bereshit bara Elohim. That's the first words in the beginning was God.
Right.
And God created the world. That's the Hebrew for it. But those words are intelligent. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's in all different languages are intelligent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this was babbling, and it used to bother me so much so that it would even upset my stomach. I said, "This is strange because I do know some languages myself. I'm European and not American. You know, you grow up with a tradition of knowing other languages, and." This is babbling, and it began to bother me, Greg, and the Assemblies of God thought that I was one of their star boys, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to do some big speaking engagements, and they had invited me there in the in the 70s, they invited me to come to Vancouver, British Columbia, mm-hmm. and then down to Seattle. And I was to speak together with a very well-known Pentecostal priest, Dennis Bennett, you know, with the same surname. And this was going to be advertised, you know, Dennis Bennett and Richard Bennett would be the key speakers at this conference. And I said no. And they were aghast, mm-hmm. because they had beginning to make flyers and, you know, posters and everything for this. And I just said no. I said, I really have to find out. After that accident I had, I was mm-hmm. trying to search in the Bible, how are we right with God? Mm-hmm. You'll see on my web page, are you right with God? That's one of the headings or the windows I have there. And that was exactly my struggle. Right. It's spelt out in that little tract. Some people say, that's the best thing you ever wrote, Richard. You've published 4 books, but that little tract is the best thing you ever wrote. It's good because it really shows my struggle, what I was struggling with. What is the authority by which we know the word of truth? Are we saved by rituals, or is it exactly. God's yes. grace? Is it in my heart, or is it in Christ? Mm-hmm. Like in my Catholic Bible, I underlined Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, 42 times it says in Christ, you know, accepted in the beloved. We don't accept Jesus into our heart, we're accepted in him. Afterwards, when he sanctifies us, he comes within us, but not that initially it's we're accepted in Christ, salvation is in him, it's not in any... in any church or any human heart, it's in Christ. And I saw these differences and I really struggled with them. And then I was getting not just beyond Pentecostalism, I was coming to biblical faith. Mm-hmm. And I thank God that it was finally and coming to the end of in October 1985. That I had come to really see biblical faith, and I had cried out to God to give me the grace and faith to be right, because I saw that intellectually I understand that I'm a sinner before a holy God. I understand it's God's grace, nothing I can do, and I understand that faith itself is a gift of God, like it says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And I cried out to God and right. praised God, and then the Lord really changed me, and I stopped. I had stopped not just only drinking beer and rum, but I stopped babbling.
And it is amazing, and as I've heard you tell your story in so many places, it's the fact that all the rituals that you were doing as a priest, and then as you shifted into false doctrine of Pentecostalism, these doing the rituals of speaking in tongues, it never worked. It never transformed.
And that used to bother me too. You know, when when I worked in Trinidad, my first year was in Port of Spain, the main city. The second biggest city is San Fernando in Trinidad. But I worked more in the towns, like in Sangre Grande my last 7 years, and Point of Pier for previous 7.5 years, and Mayaro, a seaside resort town where I worked down there, Guayaguiari, Claxton Bay. They're all small towns. And I knew people's individual lives, and here I see people babbling in tongues and living in adultery, you know, or fornication. And some of the young people we had in the choir, you know, they were singing in the choir, but they were also on drugs and into fornication and things. And I was aghast. I said, it's not just that the sacraments don't work, but Pentecostalism, somebody can be babbling and the life's still very immoral. And I said, this is really, really physically upset me too, because we're human creatures and our feelings can physically, and it really literally turned in my stomach because this is who I am. Like I was born Catholic, as it were, you know what I mean? And as the old saying is, born Catholic, die Catholic. And it's my culture. It's who I am. And and how can I give up who I am? This is not this is not a religion. This is my identity. You know what I mean? And I can empathize with with people who, if you say this is who I am,
right.
This is who my parents were, my grandparents.
And what could be quite similar to modern day Pentecostals and Charismatics, who their identity as a Christian forms around speaking.
I know, and then when you come to realize that this thing doesn't work.
Exactly.
It doesn't work. Well, it works to deceive, and you can feel real good of it. You know what I mean? You were there with your hands out, speaking in tongues and giving the prophecy. A big lady had prophesied over me in King James English, you know, thus says the Lord, you shall be a great mediator between the Catholic Church and the Assemblies of God. God has called you to this holy office of being a mediator between the Assemblies of God and the Catholic Church. And she had prophesied over me. And then when I left the Catholic Church, they were aghast because their prophetess, one of the famous, I don't want to give the name, if anybody asks me, I'll give it in by email, but it's you're depending on man's way.
Yeah.
You say it's a prophecy, a word from God, and it's man's way. And this word of faith, name it and claim it, you know what I mean? We had people naming and claiming all sorts of things. Of course, it never came about, and it was frighteningly unreal. And I just asked to wake up and to see the reality of these things, because lives are at stake. And you who are parents, to think about, if you're bringing your children up in this, how are you deceiving them?
Yeah,
it's a difficult world that we live in. In 2015, coming into 2016, we live in a difficult world, and we must have our spiritual bearings correct.
Yeah.
And we need to know the Lord and know that we are in the Lord, and that we are chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And in chapter 2, you've been dead in trespasses and sins as He saved. It is by grace you're saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone boast.
And spiritual works.
They don't. It's not of any type of work.
Yeah, exactly.
I tried them all to the hilt, and nothing worked.
Yeah.
And I ask you, dear listener, that you yourself search and see that the Scripture is true and the message is true. And when you cry out to God for faith, He gives it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know when your life is transformed. I had, as I said, at that time, and back in 85, I had to give up drink, and being an Irishman, drink was a lot to me. And it not only was soothing, but I became dependent on it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sleep at night if I didn't have a few beers, and then toppled off it with a half glass of rum. And I was able immediately to give that up.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that my life had been changed, and I knew I had a peace with God for the first time. Yeah. And I knew that when I die, or when the Lord comes, I'm ready. You know what I mean? And I had a joy, and for the first time, you see it even in photographs of me. Look at the photographs before I was saved, and it's always a strong, staunch believer in the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
But afterwards, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Well, thank you for really sharing your heart on the topic, and it bringing our conversation back to the very early days of this ecumenical movement. It was obvious that the Pentecostal and Charismatic churches were instrumental in uniting the Roman Catholic Church with so-called Protestantism. and drawing people back towards Rome. And you know, it's been many years now, but it's extremely active today. It's very alive and well. In fact, it was just in 2014 that there was an enormous outreach in, orchestrated by the Vatican, in which Kenneth Copeland and his congregations did a live broadcast with ending with a special message to American Pentecostal and Charismatic churches directly from Pope Francis.
That's something really, really special the Lord has blessed us with tonight. And somebody I want to introduce to you. Brother Tony, come on up, would you please? And Tony Palmer. Some of you may know Tony. Tony and I go way back, but he's gonna be telling you the story. I asked him to come give his testimony, and he's got a special message for us tonight. So would you welcome Tony Palmer to this platform. Bishop, thank you, sir.
Dear brothers and sisters, excuse me, because I speak in Italian, but I cannot speak in English. But I will speak no Italian, no English, but carefully. È una lingua più semplice e più autentica. E questa lingua del cuore ha un linguaggio e una grammatica speciale. La grammatica semplice, due regole. Ama Dio soprattutto e ama l'altro perché è tuo fratello e la tua sorella. E con queste due cose andiamo avanti. Io sono qui con mio fratello, mio vescovo fratello Tony Palmer. Siamo amici da anni. E lui mi ha detto del vostro convegno, del vostro raduno. E vi chiedo anche un favore, di pregare per me, perché ho bisogno delle vostre preghiere. Io prego per voi, lo farò, ma io ho bisogno delle vostre preghiere. E pregare al Signore perché ci unisca tutti. E avanti, siamo fratelli, ci diamo spiritualmente questo abbraccio e lasciamo che il Signore finisca l'opera che Lui ha incominciato. Perché questo è un miracolo, il miracolo dell'unità è incominciato.
Thank you, sir. Come on, the man asked us to pray for him. Oh, Father. Father, we answer his request. And since we know not how to pray for him as we ought, other than to agree with him in his quest and in his heart for the unity of the body of Christ. We come together in the unity of our faith. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just, all of us now, according to Scripture, when we know not how to pray as we ought, we pray for him in the Spirit. We receive utterance in the Holy Ghost. We receive prayers of faith. We receive, sir, we receive words that are not our own. Berekesto, Oleman Gilema Handilege, Bopo Predino Unkindashi, Stelebero Kumu Blavadero, Crema Nalakomopo, Mare Clanglo, Boble e Kemplino, Mare Vale Campara. La del Boplu Mumino Teleashkepe. Pe pula puma mama ya til klemin kizo.
popolo mai a tale endole come meste stelo clopai chi levo le camana bramande che dico come bles do boschire te le chieto le campagne la nena ma clo ma hala larghero che le veno breto stesci manetelo Kerebana, Kerebana, palo come un po' le chieto che le stindo dunque le cava stec la fare da dirgli che le come calarella. Oh, hallelujah.
Right now,
heaven is thrilled over this. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
So this movement is still active today, and it has also spread into other areas. It's not just the Pentecostals. As your ministry grew over the last 25 years, Richard, I've seen how you've addressed this as it came to accords and things that were joint declarations of faith between different denominations. It continues in all areas of the Christian church in America and around the world.
Yeah, and let's go back to the early days, mm-hmm. in 1967, and when the charismatic movement was really beginning here in the United States, you know, at Duquesne University, Notre Dame Catholic universities, and people were beginning to get into Pentecostalism. It was Pope Pius VI sent Cardinal Leo Sunens from Italy, from Rome, here to the United States to authenticate the fact that the Catholic charismatic movement is accepted in the Catholic Church and it is to be propagated. And so that was a big boast for Pentecostalism within the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And it was like officially that that there was to be a working together. And that was why, and with the Assemblies of God, whereby things were going really well, and mm-hmm. TBN, Trinity Broadcasting, you know, which has been known for the right. horrendous things that it broadcast, but they accepted as Catholic priests, like Victor Alfonso there spoke there, and others, you know, who mm-hmm. were Catholic priests. But after they were saved by God's grace and had a story to tell how their lives were transformed,
yeah.
Such as myself and people like Victor Alfonso and people like Bob Bush, you know, they didn't want to hear anybody who had left the Catholic Church mm-hmm. because they had come to biblical faith, and because they were closed. They were just open to the rituals of the charismatic show that yeah. goes on, and mm-hmm. speaking in tongues and being slain in the spirit and all of this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it breaks your heart, Greg, and it broke my heart because I knew some of these priests who had been in the charismatic movement with me, mm-hmm. and I could see how their lives were disintegrating. Mm. And I would appeal to some of them. I'd say, you know, I have seen how you get out of this. That this is binding your mind and your conscience.
Richard, now that we've really covered the topic of the charismatic and Pentecostal involvement in ecumenism, a lot of people have not studied Roman Catholicism that are in Christian churches today. You know, you yourself spent many years in it. I was raised in Roman Catholic system. So we're aware of the complete differences between Catholic faith and what we've discovered as biblical faith. It's most doctrines are almost 180 degrees opposite of true doctrine. So there is a danger that we clearly see. Is there a way that we can communicate to Christian people of the dangers of being involved in this charismatic movement in its many forms?
Yes, it's Christ Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. When you look at and analyze Pentecostalism, and when you analyze their, what they call their miracles, one of the well-known miracles was that a person's one foot was long, was shorter than the other, and they pray over the feet, and now they get you to see that this person's feet were perfectly all right, and you begin to see that this is putting on a show. There's no reality to it, you know, and the other signs and wonders, you see that they're not real, you know, and that somebody says that they have a word from God, a prophecy to give, and you see that it doesn't come to pass. You see that the thing does not deliver. What delivers is when we pray in Jesus' name. He's the one mediator. We do not have little mediators called prophets going around prophesying or working miracles. It's Christ is our mediator, mm-hmm. and we don't have any other mediators, mm-hmm. either big charismatic, big evangelical leaders who can draw you to Christ. It's Christ alone as the mediator. Mm-hmm. And when you see that the things keep people enslaved, mm-hmm. and lives are not changed, you know what I mean? We produced there recently a new book that is selling really well, On the Wings of Grace Alone, the testimonies of 30 former Catholics. The one is called the Carnal Catholic, and you read his testimony. He was utterly worldly, and he kept going to confession and kept going to communion, get communion, then back into his worldly style, and things didn't change. A.J. Krauss did everything you could think of, and things didn't change. You know what I mean? You can jump through all these hoops, and it doesn't get you anywhere. And at the end of the day, you don't have peace with God, and your life has not been transformed, and spiritually you're going nowhere. And if you stay on the Pentecostal track, it leads to Rome, because it's the Pentecostal churches that are the place where the Rome is accepted. Mm-hmm. And it was in 1994 when Charles Colson and Richard John Newhouse began to bring in this evangelicals and Catholics together, and later in 1997, the second one of these documents. They purportedly had brothers and sisters in Christ, but they're not in Christ. Neither the Pentecostals nor the Catholics or the so-called evangelicals who want to do it man's way, you know, or those who want salvation to be, well, I accepted Jesus into my heart, I made my decision, I put my stake in the ground, and I know that I once saved, I'm always saved, and it doesn't add up. It's God who saves in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's his gift. It's not of us. When you get beyond that ritualism and evangelical ritualism, whereby you walk the aisle and sign the card and the pastor tells you you're saved and mm-hmm. put up your hand and receive Jesus into your heart, all of this tra-la-la is just the same as the Catholic sacraments. Mm-hmm. Like I would say over people, I absolve you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you know, do the sign and say the words, and people's sins were supposed to be forgiven. Mm-hmm. The words fell to the ground empty because it didn't do anything. And these things don't do anything. And it doesn't deliver. But when you trust on Christ and look to him and look to the Father to give you grace, man, does it work. Yeah. My own life, I see that from, I just keep going back. If you want to know my testimony, it's all there in Psalm 103. Mm-hmm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and always remain. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healed all thy diseases, who saved my life from destruction and crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Sorry, I got the words mixed up there, but he saved thy life from destruction and crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Mm-hmm. will fill thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle. And it's such a joy to know that God does save our life from destruction. Mm-hmm. And this is destruction. If you remain in these rituals of Pentecostalism, you're more and more on the road to Rome. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see that that's the way some people have gone. If you you see those testimonies of people who were Assemblies of God pastors and others who went into the Catholic Church, it leads you to Catholicism. Yeah. And
it is a dangerous road.
And lives remain the same, and there's no fruit. Mm-hmm. There's no except the fruit of bitterness.
I want to touch a little bit about going back again to 1962, Richard, when you were in Rome, and the way you explained it to me years back, it was embedded in my mind, the vivid imagery that you saw when you saw during the Second Vatican Council the cardinals and the bishops as they flooded out into the Vatican Square and all dressed in scarlet and purple.
It wasn't 1960, it was actually 63.
63?
63,
yeah.
Going into 64. I was, for that academic year, starting in September of 1963. Mm-hmm. And one evening after college, at the we would get on the bus or tram and go to the, from the, where we had a Via La Vicana, the where we had our Dominican house, and you'd take the bus right over to the Vatican City and go to the Vatican, and I was able to get up really on the behind where St. Peter's is, where you're looking actually down on the square, a really good position, and I saw it was over 3,000. Archbishops, bishops, and cardinals came out into the square, and this is not Hollywood putting on a movie. This is reality. I'm looking at this, and the square is filling up, mostly with purple, because purple was the color of the bishops. Mm-hmm. But the cardinals, not as numerous, but the cardinals distinctive, because their whole dress is all scarlet.
Yeah.
So scarlet and purple. And I hadn't studied the Bible. We studied little bits here and there, but our 3 years philosophy was Aristotle, his philosophy, and 4 years was the theology of St. Thomas Aquinas, and we learned how to do the sacraments and all of these other things, but we didn't study the Bible as such. Mm-hmm. But I did know Revelation 17, that the woman who rides the beast is clothed in scarlet and purple, and I said, could it be that I'm seeing what St. John talked about in the book of Revelation? And I said, no, put that out of your mind. I can't think of this. That's not right. I should think about this. So I tried to make sure I wouldn't think about it. But it actually, that memory stayed with me all those years.
Yeah.
I had seen something, and I knew that Rome depends on the cup, the golden cup for the mass, and that the gems and all that. Mm-hmm. Each bishop had a pectoral cross with gems in it, and I knew some of those other details. And historically, I knew that she had drunk the blood of the saints. I knew that from the Inquisition, it was horrific history where the Catholic Church had people tortured. Yeah. And put to death for 605 years. Later on, I've made a video on that. That was, of course, many, many years after leaving Catholicism. And I didn't know all those details then, but I knew some of them. But then this was frightening. And it really is a reality. Is this the one that Paul spoke about in 2 Thessalonians 2, the man of sin sitting in the temple of God, calling himself God? What other religion is there that the man in charge calls himself the Holy Father? That's a title from God.
Yeah.
Sitting in the temple of God, calling himself God, the Holy Father, and calling himself the Vicar of Christ. The Vicar of Christ is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Christ said he would send another advocate, another substitute. And it's the Holy Spirit. So who calls himself the Vicar of Christ or the Holy Father? Only the Pope.
Yeah.
And that's what Paul speaks about in 2 Thessalonians 2. Read it for yourself. And it's frightening.
It is frightening, and it's actually a warning to Christian people who are getting involved in an ecumenical system. This is the reason why it's important, Richard, is because God has spoken on the subject. This is just not wild speculation, complaining about one denomination versus the other. The very written Word of God addresses this issue, and I just wanted to take a moment to read from the Revelation chapter 17, verses 3-6, and this is a vision that the Apostle John was given by God. It says, "So he carried me away in the spirit and into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names and blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head, her forehead, was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." And, you know, just as you saw this imagery in real life while you were in Rome, Richard, what the individual can do today, just if you go onto Google, go into the search engine and type in scarlet and purple and click images, and you will see exactly what Richard has saw back in 1962 at the very beginning of this massive ecumenical movement that is sweeping across the nation and the world. And John also had a vision. It was a warning. It was a warning to people in chapter 18, verses 4 and 5. And John said, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of the plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." You know, this is the reason why we need to understand the ecumenical movement. It's not just a simple emotional thing that you want to do with your friends and colleagues involved in large outreach events where churches unite. It is where this road is leading, and it's leading to judgment. And God is calling you as a Christian person to come out from among them. You don't want to receive her plagues. Can you follow up on that, Richard?
Yes. We must leave the system and come into life in Christ Jesus, but it has to be done by the power of God.
Yes.
And the bottom line, first of all, doesn't seem to be good news, but it turns out to be good news. We have to see who we are by nature. Mm-hmm. By nature, we are born sinners because we have a sin nature. We're more inclined to evil than to do good. Mm-hmm. And then we've all committed sin, and even one sin, like what they call a white liar, so is sin before holy God, to utterly separate you from God. We're all sinners. And so it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you've been dead in trespasses and sins. Not that you're wounded, but you're dead. Spiritually dead. We've got to realize that. So you look to God. No, you don't look to any church. You look to God and ask him for the faith. Mm-hmm. And then to activate that faith by grace so that you may believe. Mm-hmm. And it really works. He gives you the faith, and then he activates it by his grace. And then you know in yourself and in your experience, you know and can say the words, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, because that becomes your story.
Right.
And It's the real story, and it really works. And you can see verse 10, saved unto good works.
Yeah.
You're saved to do good works. Mm-hmm. And you can see then that'll give stability for your marriage, that'll give stability for your life, mm-hmm. that'll give you stability if you're inclined to drink, to come off it, mm-hmm. and it'll give you stability to be faithful to your wife, or wives be faithful to your husband. And it gives you that, but Apostle Peter said, and I use the words already, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it really is wonderful. And I'd ask you, dear listener, to really hear this word, because it's not only to get beyond babbling and to get beyond rituals, but it is to come into Christ. And you can get beyond things. I met there at the supermarket the other day. I met a man who he was standing behind me at the checkout, you know, and I asked him how he was before God, and he said, "Well, I've left the Catholic Church," but he said, I'm lost." And that's the way it is with so many people.
Yeah.
You know, you've left. I said, "Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You've left it, but there is a genuine Christianity and share." Mm-hmm. I've seen people like that, and a good friend of mine, Michael Maruffi, called me one day, and he had witnessed somebody also to an express lane in the supermarket. You know, you only have under five goods, and they do it, you know, quickly. He had witnessed, and the man actually came home with him afterwards, mm-hmm. and he was a former Catholic who had left Catholicism, but hadn't come to faith. Yeah. And it's, you look to God and read. Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, and read the book of John, God's Gospel, mm-hmm. and you will know, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I ask you, and it's always a joy to me in making a program like this, and I'm thankful that you had this interview, Greg Bentley. I'm happy, but I'd ask you to email me, and it's always a joy to hear from you. My email address you will see on your screen. It's RichardMBennett@yahoo.com. M for Michael, my middle initial, I put it in because, you know, there are many people and there will be many Richard Bennetts on Yahoo, so it's RichardMBennett@yahoo.com. And it may take me a few days to get to you, but we will answer, and it would be a joy to hear from you. And look to God, and I would ask that you would explain the message today to others. And if you have this on your iPhone or your iPad, to shoot it off to some other people and let them share too. And we would share the good news together and get beyond ritualism and babbling and all these other things into Christ. And to him be the glory, the praise, the worship, and the honor. Amen.
If you would like a free newsletter on this or other subjects, just give us a call at Christian Answers. The phone number is area code 512-218-8022. That's 512-218-8022. Or you could email us at cdebater@aol.com. That's cdebater@aol.com. Thank you.
Hello, this is Larry Wessels, Director of Christian Answers of Austin, Texas, Christian Debater Ministries. I'm pleased to introduce to my audience a dear brother in the Lord, Richard Bennett, Director of Berean Beacon Ministries, an outreach to Roman Catholics.
It is great to be here, Larry.
For people that don't know you, you were a Roman Catholic priest for 22 years, is that right? Please give us a short account of your life.
Yes, I was a Catholic priest for 22 years. I was a Catholic altogether for 48 years, having grown up in Dublin, Ireland. I was trained very early on in my education, in what we call secondary and elementary education, by the Jesuits. And then I decided to become a Catholic priest, and I spent 8 years in preparation. It was a novitiate year, and then 6 years to ordination when I was ordained a priest in Dublin, Ireland, in 1963, and then 1 year in Rome, 8 years in all. Then I spent 21 years in Trinidad, West Indies, as a parish priest, carrying out the work of a priest. I had the best academic training you could get, finishing up in the city of Rome itself, near the Vatican, and I really had a desire to bring Catholics to what we thought was a way of being right with God, so that they could get to purgatory, and then that they finally could get to heaven. And I was great for doing penances and sacrifices, and then I was very devout in Trinidad, baptizing babies, hearing people's confessions, and doing all the sacraments. It was in 1972, I had a very serious accident where I was 3 days unconscious after the serious accident. And then after that time, when I got out of the hospital and the sanatorium, I began searching in the Bible for what is truth. It took me 14 years of comparing the Bible to Catholicism before I realized that I was dead in trespasses and sins, and it was by grace alone that we are saved. One night I got on the floor in my house and I cried out to God for faith and his grace to save a wretch like me, dead in trespass and sins, and he gloriously did that. It was about 2 months afterwards I very reluctantly left the Catholic Church, because my prayer after I was right with God by biblical salvation was that I could really love Catholics and give them the real true gospel of grace. That is grace alone, faith alone, and in Christ alone. But then in prayer over those 2 months after I was saved, the Lord showed me that I could best serve him and love Catholics if I left actually the priesthood and the Catholic Church and reached out to Catholics nonetheless. And I did that. I left the priesthood in 1985 and reached the States in 1986. And I just prayed and prayed that I would have a love for Catholics to reach out. I thank the Lord that after 1 year as a missionary in China, I was able to start the ministry that I now have called BereanBeacon.org. It is to show Catholics the real truth of where salvation is in a person, not in any church. And it is by God's grace, not by any ritual that any church does. So this has been really wonderful. I've seen priests save. I saw two priests in Poland, you know, through our ministry. We have a Polish webpage, besides many other languages, and of course in English. And I thank God that I have seen God's grace poured out. And that is my heart's desire, Larry, that Catholics would know the truth, and that evangelicals in this very false ecumenical age would see the differences. I have a very interesting article on the webpage. Are Catholics Christians? And we've had tremendous response to that, evangelicals whose eyes have been opened in reading that article. So it's with love for Catholics and to show the truth of Christ Jesus that God will be glorified and many, many souls saved, particularly Catholics, to the glory of his name.
Outstanding.
That was a wonderful testimony, Richard. Could you just real briefly tell us about, you've written some books, and you've already mentioned your ministry, but what are these books you've written,
and how can people find them?
Yes, I have written written some and edited others, and they have been amazing. I just thank God. Our most well-known book is Far From Rome, Near to God, The Testimonies of 50 Converted Catholic Priests. Since 1994, that book has sold steadily across the world in English and in other languages, and it's on the third edition now. And the other book that has my heart really displayed and my love for Catholics is the book I've written about Catholicism called Catholicism, East of Eden, Insights into Catholicism for the 21st Century. This book is published by Banner of Truth Trust, like the book of the 50 Testimonies of Former Priests. And I thank God for that, because the Lord has used that book and it brought many Catholics to himself by that book. The other book that my heart was in editing together with Mary Hertel is a book called The Truth Set Us Free, 20 Former Nuns Tell Their Stories. And that book has been used mightily of the Lord as well. And I thank God for those women, most of whom are still alive and active in reaching out to Catholics themselves. And it is just a wonderful testimony of God's grace. And the other book I've written is called On the Wings of Grace Alone. I've edited that, and that is just 30 ordinary Catholics, and what we call lay Catholics, and how the Lord brought them to salvation. And that is an amazing book too. How can you obtain these books? Well, go to our webpage, bereanbeacon.org, and just go to the folder on the left-hand side, books, and when you click on that, it gives all the details of how you can get those books.
Outstanding. Well, Richard, we're going to go into showing people your videos now here across particularly our audience on YouTube. But many people don't know that you and me go to the same church here in Austin, Texas. So it gives me a special opportunity to be around you a lot just so we can do ministry work. But anyway, I want to thank you for allowing us to post your videos on the Internet through YouTube and other Internet servers.
Praise God, and may souls be saved and the Lord glorified. Amen and amen.
Amen.